I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. I'd like to welcome each one to the service this morning, especially thankful for visitors. Bless you for being here. Those of you who have mothers in the congregation here and coming to honor your mother, thank you for that. God bless you for that. You can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Message this morning. We've already heard quite a bit about mothers, but I feel like it's a day that we want to honor our mothers. I've titled the message this morning, The Heart of a Mother. Knowing that, you know, for us men, we don't understand the heart of a woman. I don't think we ever will. It seems to me I've already seen the thing of a book, you know, what men know about women, and when you open it up, it's all blank inside. It's maybe not quite the truth, but to some degree, I think we get the gist of what they're trying to convey with that, that we really don't understand. There was a customer at our place of business here a year or so ago, and he was talking about how he had gone to a high school reunion, and they were conversing with his classmates, and, you know, boys and girls, and they were talking about, you know, how many children they have and so forth. And someone asked him, I think it was one of the girls that was kind of one of the popular girls in school that always had a ready answer for everything, but she asked him, you know, how many children do you have? And he said, well, I don't have any. I said, my wife had all mine, all of ours. So, you know, in thinking of that, you know, us men, we don't understand what it's like to be a mother. We know what it's like to be a dad, those of us who have children, but we'll never understand in full what it's like to be a mom. So God bless you, mothers, this morning. I'd like to read out of Proverbs 31 here. This chapter, you know, it really speaks well for a virtuous woman, a woman that fears the Lord. And, you know, in thinking about this, we don't want to elevate the woman to a place of worship, but I do believe it's appropriate for us to honor our mothers, wives, etc. There is a place of honor for the effort they put in, the hard work that y'all do. God bless you for that. And I think as we read what the writer writes here, and we know this is the inspired word of God, it really shows us what God does with the life of a woman that is virtuous, a wife, a woman that fears God, a woman that is endued, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we see the work of God in her life. And the glory goes to God. But yet, as human beings, you have the responsibility to make decisions that will glorify God. And, you know, as you consider what God is doing in you, give God the glory for that. It is the righteousness of Christ in you as you come to God in faith. As the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And, you know, you cannot please Him as a godly woman, as a mother, in any way, shape, or form without faith, unless you believe that God is, and you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. And it is only on those merits that you can please God and that you can fulfill that place as a godly wife and mother the way God would have you to. So let's read starting in verse 10 here in Proverbs 31. He asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And we know that you can't put a price on a virtuous woman. It's not something you can buy. You know, the virtue that comes from faith in God, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, is something that you cannot buy. As the writer says in Isaiah or Jeremiah, wherever it is, that come and buy without money, but yet, he says, without price, because it is invaluable. You cannot put a price on it. That is the kind of virtue he's talking about here. He says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And we must remember that our wives, mothers are human. They do make mistakes. But I believe your intent is good. You do want to do your husband good and not evil all the days of your life. And God will bless you for that, and he will bring you to repentance when you mess up, which we all do. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And we can see as we read here the choices that he is saying that this woman is making, the virtuous woman who has the virtue that comes from God. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It says that in verse 25, she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, our tendency is to just think about the here and now. But when you're endued with virtue from God, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you look beyond the here and now. You look into the future, into eternity, and you see the choices that you make that are far-reaching, further than what the human eye can see. And we sense that because of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. And when we are endued and blessed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then we can see and we can make choices that reach far beyond the here and now. It says in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now you might look at yourself and you see your shortcomings and your failings, and you think, well, this is for some superwoman. You know, this is not for me. But I had to think of the verse in Philippians 1, verse 6, where Paul says, being confident that he which hath begun this good work in you will perform that work until the day of Christ Jesus. And, you know, as a believer, you can claim that promise that God, that Jesus Christ, will continue to perform that work in you as you continue on in faith. Remember, it's not about you. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but you need faith. You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God will bless you in that. And that is, I believe, the gist of this scripture is, as it says in the first verse that I started in verse 10, about a virtuous woman, the virtue from God, and in verse 30, a woman that feareth the Lord. And that is not talking about being afraid of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, but having an awe, a reverence of him. of standing in awe of Jesus Christ and believing in him in faith. So, as we endeavor this morning to look into the heart of a woman, you know, like I said, we cannot understand that. We cannot fully know what goes on in your heart, but we want to honor you today. And as we see the things that come out of the lives of women, mothers and wives that are godly and that fear God, that have that virtue from Jesus Christ, we get glimpses of the things that go on in your heart. And my mind was drawn to the scripture in Isaiah 49:15, where he asks the question, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And he answers that question with, yea, they may forget. So he is bringing out to you that you are human, that you are prone to make mistakes. And, you know, that is probably one of the last things that a mother would want to do. And, you know, God has put that within you, that mother instinct, that mother desire. And, you know, when you see, or when we see little toddler girls, you know, holding that little doll, we already see the mother coming out, the heart of a mother. And as this scripture says, that a woman can forget her infant child, but God says, I will not forget you. You know, we know how strong and how fierce and how loyal the mother instinct is, but God says, my love for you is even more fierce and is even more loyal, because I cannot forget you. You are my children, and I cannot forget you. And as Jesus has promised that, you know, when we are in the Father's hand, you are one of my sheep. He says, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. No man, no one. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? And he asked the question, all these things, nothing can separate us. It is only when we choose to leave that we be separated. But nothing or no one can separate us otherwise. So that is one of the things that we see when we look at the heart, or we try to understand the heart of a mother, is the fierce love and loyalty that we see with a mother instinct, a woman, a mother caring for her child and willing to risk her life for the good of her child. I'd like to look at a couple of Bible stories this morning that have to do with a mother's love, the heart of a mother, and let's look at what we see coming from the heart of a mother. The first one is in Genesis chapter 24. This is the story of Isaac and Rebekah, and I won't read this, but I would like to go through this and kind of put it into my own words. Genesis chapter 24. This was after Sarah had died. Isaac's mother had passed away. And it says that Abraham was old and that he had gotten up well stricken with years. And Abraham called his oldest servant and he asked him to promise that he would not get a wife for Isaac from the daughters of the Canaanites in the area where they were in, but he said, I want you to go back to where I came from, to my country and to my Freundschaft, to my kindred, and I want you to get a wife there and bring her home for Isaac. And he said that if you go and this woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from this promise. But he said, don't take my son Isaac back into that country. I want him to stay here. So this servant took 10 camels of Abraham's camels, and he went out to the city, went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, which Nahor was Abraham's brother. And he made his camels kneel down there by outside the city by the well of water. And it was in the evening when it was time that the women came out to draw water. And, you know, I'm not sure, did he do this with the intent of observing the girls as they came out or what all he had in mind there, but he said that he prayed to God and he said, I'm going to stand here and the daughters are going to come out. And he said that, let it be that when I ask this girl for a drink of water, when she says, you know, you can have a drink and I will also draw water for your camel, he said, then I'll know that this is the girl that God has chosen for Isaac, my master. And he says that it wasn't long as even before he was done speaking that Rebekah came out. And Rebekah was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor. So she would have been a granddaughter to Nahor, if I have that right. And she came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went out and she filled her pitcher, brought it up, and the servant went to her and he asked for a drink of water, for just a little water to drink. And she said, yes, have a drink. And she said, I will also draw water for your camels until they're done drinking. And I don't know how much water that would have taken for 10 camels. I don't know how far this was, but I think that would have been quite a bit of water that she was offering to draw for this stranger. And she says she hasted. She hurried up. She drew water. She poured it into the trough. She drew water. She poured it into the trough and drew for all of his camels. And this servant was just there and he was not saying anything and he was wondering whether or not this was what God had in mind. And then he gave her a gift. It says he gave her a golden earring and two bracelets. For it was the weight of 10 shekels of gold. And then he asked her, who are you? Who are your parents? And he asked, is there room that we could stay the night in your father's house? And she said that, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said, we have room. We've got feed for your camels. We have room for you to stay. And the man, the servant, bowed down his head and he worshiped God and he thanked him for blessing him in this way, for not leaving him destitute. And the girl, Rebekah, ran and to the house and she told the others at home of, you know, what had happened here. Rebekah had a name, a brother. His name was Laban. And Laban ran out to this stranger and he asked him to come in. And as they were there, the servant introduced himself to the others of the house. He said, I am Abraham's servant. He said that God has blessed Abraham greatly. We have a lot of flocks and herds, silver and gold, and servants, and camels, and etc. And that Abraham has a son from Sarah, his name is Isaac, and that Abraham told me to go and take a wife from the old country where he came from. And he explained how this all came about, and he asked for Rebekah to go back with him. And we notice here, in verse 55, we see the mother heart coming out. In verse 55, it says, and her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, at the least 10, and then she can go. You know, can you imagine what that would be like to have a stranger come to your house, even though he said, I know this brother of your grandpa, of your dad, but I'm asking for your daughter, your granddaughter, to go with me to be a wife to my master's son. And to do that the very next day, because that's what this servant wanted to do. So this mother heart was wanting to hang on to her daughter for a little longer. But this servant asked them, he said, I would really like to get back to my master. I would really like to get back home. And they said, well, we'll ask Rebecca and we'll see what she says. And they did. And she said, yes, I'm willing to go. And we know how that they came. They saw Isaac out in the field. Rebecca came off the camel. She covered herself with a veil. And the servant told Isaac of all the things that he had done. And Isaac took Rebecca. She became his wife. It says he was comforted after his mother's death. And I like to think of that as the things that you sisters, you ladies, mothers and wives do for us men that brings comfort. You know, I have never experienced the situation where someone of my immediate family passed away in the household where I lived, because I was already married when mom died. And, you know, I don't know what that would have been like, but I can, you know, just try to imagine. You know, my wife was a great comfort to me in that time. She was doing the work that my mom used to do for me, which made a huge difference in how life went on for me. Versus, you know, if you were at home and your mother passed away, and now the work that used to be done for you by your mom would no longer be done. Someone has to step in and has to do that. And there are a lot of things that get done that we take for granted, things that just happen. You know, the meals don't get on the table by themselves. The clothes don't get washed and put back into the drawer or the closet by themselves. You know, those things just appear for us, and we take that for granted so many times. Now I'd like to look at Exodus chapter 2. The story of Moses. This was in chapter 1. We see how that Pharaoh had given the charge that all of the boys' children were to be killed. They were to be thrown into the river, but they could save the girls alive. And there was this man, Amram, from the house of tribe of Levi. He took a wife, Jochebed, she was also a daughter of the tribe of Levi. They had a son, and this mother saw that he was a goodly child, it says. A child that was, you know, good to look at. I think he was complete, if you will. And, you know, as we would look at a baby that is, you know, cute. And she hid him for 3 months, went against everything that had been said, you've got to throw him in the river. And when she could no longer hide him, I guess things were getting too intense, she made this ark or this little basket of bulrushes, and she covered it with slime and with pitch. And she probably put this, you know, maybe some hay or grass or something in there and the blanket, I would imagine, and she laid this child, the little baby in there, and she put him in the river. And she asked his sister Miriam to stand and watch and see what would happen. And then Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to wash herself, and she saw this basket among the flags, it says. I'm not sure what that was, maybe the cattails or something that was growing in the river, and she sent one of her maids to get the basket and bring it to her. And when she opened it, evidently there was a cover over it, she saw this baby, and the baby cried. And her mother instinct was moved. She had compassion on the baby, it says. And she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, one of the ones that was supposed to be killed. And she said to Miriam, Miriam came to Pharaoh's daughter and asked, "Shall I call you a nurse from one of the Hebrew women that she can take care of the child for you?" And she said, "Yes." And of course, Miriam went and called the baby's mother. So the mother got to take care of her own child there for a little while yet. And she was even paid to do it. And the child grew, and then finally at some point, I don't know what age this was, she brought him to the daughter of Pharaoh, and it says he became her son, and she called his name Moses. Now, if this would have been found out that Jochebed did this to preserve the life of her son, I wonder what would have happened. You know, to me, it's like this woman was willing to risk her life for the life of her baby, of her son. The fierce instinct that we see coming out, the love from the heart of a mother. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, he talks about the unfeigned faith that is in thee, in Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We see coming out of the heart of a mother, in this case, the care, the concern about the spiritual well-being of their children. We see that it says unfeigned faith. A feigned faith would be something that would be fake. So this is a faith that was sincere, that was true, that was coming out of Lois, and it was passed down to Timothy's mother Eunice, and then from there it was passed down to Timothy. And Paul says, you know, those three generations, that this unfeigned faith had been passed along. As it says in 3 John verse 14, he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And that is a man talking, but I believe that same thing applies to our sisters, to the heart of a mother. I believe there is no greater joy than they have than to hear that their children walk in truth, to see their children walking in truth and loving the Lord that they love and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, as you know that virtue is put into them through the Holy Spirit, that they see that and they are blessed with that. A few proverbs here says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." You know, when mothers see children making bad choices, foolish choices, it hurts, it grieves, but yet the love is always there. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." And I believe that is telling us to love and to honor our mothers, even when they get up into age. And, you know, they're not able to do things as well as what they used to, but they continue on in wanting to serve. In Proverbs 29:15, it says, "A rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame." And yet, the heart of a mother goes out with compassion to a child that brings her shame. And I believe a lot of times they are still willing to say, "That is my son," or "That is my daughter." Proverbs 30 verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother." I believe we're in that time right now where there are many people who do not value what God says in his word, who do not care about what father and mother say, but want to do their own thing and take their own way. And it's sad, but that's what happens when we sin and we turn away from God. I have here a mother's prayer that I would like to read. I'm not sure where this came from. I'll read it for what it's worth. A mother's prayer. Make me a wise mother, O Lord. Keep me calm and give me patience to bear the small, irritating things in the daily routine of life. Give me tolerance and understanding to bridge the gulf between my generation and that of my children. Let me not be too ready to guide my children's stumbling feet, but allow me to be ever near to bind their bruises. Give me a sense of humor that I may laugh with them, but never at them. Let me refrain from preaching with words. Keep me from forcing their confidences, but give me a sympathetic ear when my children come to me. Help me to teach them that life must not be filled with compromises, but must be replete or filled with victories. Make me humble. Keep my children close to me, O Lord, though miles may separate us, and let thy light so shine upon me that they too will perceive thy glory. Amen. I don't know if that was written by a woman or by a man, but I believe it gives us a glimpse into the heart of a mother that cares for her child. So as you look at yourselves, do you always get it right? Is your life without mistake? Probably not. But remember that verse that I quoted earlier, that Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe sometimes you feel like there's not enough of you to go around, like you're, you know, stretched thin, especially when children are young and there's a lot of responsibility on you. As someone wrote, that no one deserves a special day more than mom. There was a cartoon that showed a psychologist talking to his patient, and he said, let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. I think I see the problem. You know, sometimes there just isn't enough of you to go around. But that's where grace comes in, I believe. In honor for our mothers, I would like for all of us to stand and honor our mothers. And as you stand and contemplate on your mom, think about the things that she's done for you, all the things that she's gone through. You know, some of our mothers have passed on and gone to their reward. Others are still here, facing the dust and gravel, the daily grind on a daily basis. Pray for them, that God will give them grace, strength they need to face another day, the strength to put one foot in front of the other, to keep on. That God would continue to help them, bless them, so that they could bless others and be blessed themselves. You know, and some of us have had the experience of having mom pass on and having another woman come to take that place. And yet, you know, you can't replace mom. But, you know, and sometimes we might feel like it's dishonoring to mom when we love another woman as mom in that way. But really, mom would want us to do that, because mom wants what's best for us. That really is the heart of a mother. Let's pray. Our loving Father, just want to thank you for blessing us in so many ways today. Thank you for the wives and mothers you've given to us and the godly women that you've blessed us with. And Lord, help us to honor them in a way that is pleasing to you. Help them, Lord, to be faithful, to trust you, to love you, and to find their completeness in you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life, for shedding your blood on the cross so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And I ask for your special grace and blessing upon us as we go from here, as we go through the coming days. You give us grace, Lord, and help us that we can find our strength in you. I pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.